here today. I want to challenge you today to step into something great. To step into something great. We're in the book of Genesis today, first book of the Bible, and we're going to look at chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, we're in verses 1 and 2, and we are going to we're going to take a look at a man by the name of Abram, who later became Abraham, okay? And God was preparing Abram to become the father of the nations of God's people, and what came with all of that. And this is a promise. In fact, there were a lot of promises that Abram had and that he saw come to fruition with the Lord. And he's right now at this place, Abram is, where God is kind of taking him from where he's at now into something greater, something new, something different. And I will tell you, all of us here today, that the single most difference between us and God is the fact that God is unchanging, and we have to change. We have to change. And we are changed by the unchanging one. He takes us from where we might be students. He is taking you now into a new academic year. And what lies before you with that? For some of us, we are in new phases of life. Maybe our work situation has changed. Maybe our life situation has changed for whatever reason, good or bad. And we find ourselves now in a new type of season. May I tell you that every occasion that we are alive is an occasion for God to take us even closer to his absolute best in our lives. That's his goal. When I woke up this morning, God had a plan for me to get as close to him as I possibly could. Tomorrow, same thing. The next day, same thing. And all of that adds up when he puts me then in places where I'm not sure, okay, Lord, why have you called me to this? Lord, what is your plan for me in this type of world? I look at Abram when God called him, and he, although we're only reading two verses to start out, God actually said a lot to Abram that I want to leave with all of us here today. Whether you be a student or whether you be a great grandma in this place, God has something to say to each of us here today. And I want to show you from Genesis 17. So if you're able to, could I invite you to stand with me as we read God's word together? Genesis 17, beginning in verse 1 and going to verse 2, just two verses. Here's what God had said. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. The Lord wants to do something great in your life. But some things that we should keep in mind with that mindset if we're going to really have God's greatness take place in our souls, in our lives, in our spirits. So why don't we pray? Jesus, would you speak to us now through your Holy Spirit, through your word? God, we commit this time to you. We pray, God, that you would do great things. Lord, touch your people. I pray that you would meet us right where we're at, each of us, with your word, Lord God, and lead us closer to you. And Lord, I'll thank you for all that you do in your name, Lord. And we all said amen. 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 You may be seated. Step into something greater. So what is God's plan for you? Students, I will tell you that it's not just about getting a passing grade. in your classes, although I'm sure your parents would appreciate that, correct? It's not just about getting through another year of school. Those of us who have jobs, it's not just about fulfilling our 40 hours a week or however long you might be working. For many of us, it's more than that. But there's something else there. God wants to do something in us and through each and every one of us here today, starting today. And with that in mind, I want you to know that it's a whole lot more than just your schedule. God's got a higher plan where you're at. We just talked about our teachers, and we just had prayer for them. Teachers, God has placed you there for a reason. It's not just a job. He has placed you there. Students, God has placed you on the campus for a reason. You're not just there. God's got a plan for you, all of us here. God's placed us in our neighborhoods. He's placed us in our places of employment. He's placed us at different seasons in our lives. He's placed you at the sideline to watch your kid or your grandkid play soccer, and he's got you there for a reason. All of those moments God has placed for you, and in that, he wants to do something great. But there's some things that we need to keep in mind that God reminded Abram of right here in these two verses, and I'd like to share those with you here today. If you know my sermons, you'll know that this sermon's brought to you by the letter G today. So those of you, there are some of the students like to have a little contest, and so anybody pick G? No? Gotcha. Okay. No, well, you did not. Okay, here we go. All right. There we go. All right, the first one's already up there. I want to remind you of the greatness of God. Students, as you go through this school year, teachers, as you go through your school year, all of us, as we go through every single day, we need to be reminded of the greatness of God. Now, look how God starts this whole thing off, okay? In verse 1, Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to him, and he said, here's how he kicks the whole thing off. I am God Almighty. Now, this is how God starts this moment with Abram, and it's not because God's on an ego trip. How many of you know that, right? Okay, God's not saying, hey, guess you know, I'm the great and powerful Oz, ha, ha, you know, or whatever. That sounded more like the Count from Sesame Street than it did Oz with allergies. But God kicks things off, and he says, look, I'm the Lord God Almighty. Why is this important? Why is this important? Because as followers of God, as people who follow Jesus, we've got to have a correct view of who God is. Amen. You see? And God sets, he actually sets the foundation for what he's about to tell Abram by saying, before I go any further, Abram, I want you to be reminded of who I am. I want you to be reminded that you're not talking to a weak God here. I want you to be reminded that the one talking to you is limitless. I want you to be reminded that the one who is giving you this calling, that the one who is fulfilling these promises in you is not just some creature up there that's being fanned by angels and hoping he gets it right. No, this is God, the great God, the highest of highs, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who created the entire universe. Before God goes any further, he wants to make sure that Abram's view of him is accurate. And if we have an inaccurate view of God, to be honest with you, it's going to cripple the rest of our spiritual lives. If we think God is weak, then how's that going to affect your prayer life? If you think that God doesn't get it right, if you think that God doesn't do all things well, if you think that God's not able to hear your request or meet your need, if you've got that in the back of your mind, then that's going to impact the rest of your spiritual life negatively. We've got to have a correct view of God. And so God prefaces this entire thing, and this whole message is based on this whole premise. He is God Almighty. Nothing and no one can compare to God. We got to have the right view of God. Can you say amen in this place? And so, number one, let's be reminded as we live our lives, as we are on the campus, as we're on the workplace, of the greatness of God. But secondly, let's be reminded of the guidance of God. Let's not only be reminded of the greatness of God, but I want you to be reminded of the guidance of God. Now again, we're back in verse 1. And God tells him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully. Walk before me faithfully. Now, how many of you have ever played Follow the Leader? Okay, all right. In order to be effective as a leader, you have to lead well, correct? So if I'm following somebody, I've got to follow their example. I've got to be led by them. Where you go, I go. What you do, I do, et cetera, et cetera. But did you notice what God did not say? God did not say, walk behind me. Now that'd be easy, wouldn't it? Jonathan, why don't you come on up here? Let's illustrate this here. It'll be good. You've worked hard today. Okay, so let's say I'm leading Jonathan, okay? And I want you to face that way. And let's say I'm leading Jonathan. Now, if I say, okay, Jonathan, I'm going to lead you, but I want you to walk in front of me while I do it. How easy is that? Now, when he was a toddler, and he was like just starting to walk and run, he'd be like, and he'd be running into everything. So my mission as his dad was like, okay, behind him, let's keep him from hitting that. Oh, don't break that. I don't want to pay for that. No, and so I would lead him from behind. But if I was told, walk beside me, that'd be easy. I could lead Jonathan. We're just arm in arm, just like, okay, dude. Let's go this way. That's great. You enjoying this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. In fact, if I said walk behind me, Lord willing, he would walk behind me. This isn't going well, is it? Should have asked Jazz. Should have asked Jazzy. She would have done way better. Okay, but when I say walk before me, that's different. If I'm leading from behind, that means that he is led when he can't really sense me in this way or this way. And see, some of the biggest challenges that we're going to have as followers of Jesus Christ, it's not when he says, hey, child of God, son, daughter, walk behind me. Or when he says, hey, arm in arm, walk beside me. But when he says, walk before me, it's like, ooh, I don't sense you as well as I did the other two ways. Are you getting what I'm saying here today? Thanks, Jonathan. Why don't you do what you're told? Yeah. That was really sad. It's hard to be led by somebody when you can't sense them. Now, I'll tell you, there are going to come times in your life. Sure, you can sense the presence of God in a great way. Woo, we sang my favorite song. Hallelujah, you know. I just had this great prayer time. Woo, that was awesome. But what happens when I'm trying to walk and follow God, but I don't have the little Holy Ghost goosebumps on my neck. And I don't have a pillar of fire in front of me or a cloud leading me. What happens when I'm not turning my back on God, I just can't feel him like I have felt him in the past. That will be a challenge to you. You know what, Job said something like this when he said, if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. He's at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But look how he ends this. But he knows the way I take. And when he's tested me, I'll come forth as gold. Those of you who are accustomed to maybe a Pentecostal type of atmosphere, which is wonderful, because I believe that God is a God to be experienced, amen? But here's the deal. Sometimes when I'm in my car, I'm not really feeling the presence of God. In fact, the way some of you drive, you really need the presence of God. Sometimes when I'm going through life and life is difficult and I don't feel him like maybe I did on a Sunday morning or on a Thursday night or on a prayer time or when the worship was just really good for me, I don't feel him there. I don't sense him there, but he's still there. You may not always sense God, but he's always there to guide you. Let me say it again. You may not always sense God, but he is always there. Hear me. You will succeed greatly as a child of God if you don't base God on your feelings. I don't feel him. Well, he's still there. He's still there. He's still there. So whether I sense him or not, I know that he's there and he's there to guide me, as Jonathan just sang. Thirdly today, we want to experience God's best. I would challenge us to be guiltless before God. Be guiltless before God. Now look again at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Hey, that's easy. Be blameless. I will tell you that the Holy Spirit does his best work in a clean house. The Bible says that we, individually, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides within me. It's important that I make myself aware of how I could potentially compromise in my walk with God. I just want to be brutally honest with every single person hearing me today, whether you're in this room or online. I want you to hear this. Every single one of us has an area in our lives where we are prone to disobey God and to compromise. Every single one of us has an area of our lives where we can succumb to temptation. Every single one of us. And here's the deal. That's going to look different for every person in here. What the devil tries to use against me will be totally different than any of you. Well, what's yours, Pastor? None of your business is what I would say to that. But here's the deal. It does me no good to pretend that I'm impervious to temptation. And here's the deal. What causes me to be tempted may be very different than what causes a person next to me to be tempted. And what can draw me off of the path in my relationship with God could look totally different on me than it does on anybody else in the house here today. But we need to be aware of that. When I coached basketball and when I would scout a team that we might be playing, and granted, we were just fifth and sixth grade kids that I was coaching, but I was cutthroat, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, second place is the first loser. Can I have an amen in this place? There you go. All right. So when I would, she's like, you're a horrible coach, Pastor. Yes, I had people tell me that. And anyway, when I would, and then they lost. But anyway, I that's pretty good scoreboard. And so if I knew what I was going to play, or my team was going to play another team, okay, I'd watch. I'd see, okay, where is this team weak? Their point guard. Can he dribble with his left hand? Oh, he can't. Well, guess what? Guess what I'm going to do with Jonathan? I'm going to tell him to make that kid go to his left. We're just going to abuse, I mean, defeat that kid. So. What was I doing? I'm looking for weaknesses so that I can win. Okay? Now, I would rarely compare myself to Satan up here on the platform, but here we go. Some of you say, well, it's really not that big of a stretch, but here's the deal. The enemy will constantly look for weaknesses in my life, and he'll try to see where I'm weak and where you are weak, and he will try to take advantage of that to try to defeat you, to try to abuse you, to try to steal, kill, and to destroy from you. And we've got to be aware of where those are. And to be honest with you, we just got to commit those things to God. It's like, okay, God, this is where I'm weak. When I go to work, this is where I'm going to be weak. God, when I go to this place, this is where I'm weak. God, when I'm all by myself and no one else is watching, this is where I'm weak. And I need to surrender this to you. And that's how we win this thing. It's with us being brutally honest with ourselves. Because to be quite honest with you, when you confess those things to God, God's not going to be like, oh, you're kidding. He doesn't say that, okay? He knows. The problem is we often don't know, or we at least won't admit it. So if we confess that to the Lord, we can say, Lord, help me. There it is. Because here's the deal. He doesn't just cross his fingers and say, good luck, camper. He wants to give you the strength and the power to be able to defeat that through the help of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. So here we are. We want to step into something great. Let's be reminded of the greatness of God, of the guidance of God, to be guiltless before God. Fourthly, and I'm almost done, which means nothing. Number four, the guarantees of God. The guarantees of God. We're in verse 2 now. And the guarantees of God. He says, I will make my covenant, my promise between me and you. Abram says, look, I don't want you to miss this. Abram says, God says to Abram, all these promises I've given you, Abram, they're going to come true. All of them. All of them. This covenant that I've made for you that you haven't seen come to fruition yet, it's coming. I'm going to be faithful enough that all the promises that I have for you, Abram, are going to come true. Did you know that God looks at us and he says the same thing? There are promises found in God's word that are true for us. And God's word is always there. And his promises are always true. Students, when you go into the classroom, when you're on the campus, when you're fulfilling your obligations, please know that the promises found in God's word apply to you every single day. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, hear me today. The promises of God, whether how many times you've heard them or not, God's promises are true for you and they apply to you. Why don't I share just a few of those guarantees from God with you? And there are so many. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's a promise from God. Can you say amen? Here's a great one. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." If you need peace today, that's a promise for you this morning. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." You're not in this alone. God is here to help you every single day. How about back to the book of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." If you're having a hard time getting past your past, look at that promise from God. He is a forgiving God. One more, Romans 8, 28, "And we know that in all things," we sang this earlier, "we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Those are just five. There are hundreds of promises in the Word of God that apply to you. And here's what you need to know. The devil will try to breathe lie after lie after lie into your mind to try to get you to doubt who God is and what his word has to say. And you've got to know what God's word really says. You've got to know the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. Can you say amen? He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So if I need to know truth, I need to know him, and I need to know his word. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the lies. Students, don't believe the lies this year. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, don't believe the lies. Anytime you are told something contrary to God's word, that is not from God. That will never, God will never, ever, ever contradict his word. Amen. Never. Let me close with this one. And I mean it this time. Let's be reminded, lastly, of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Verse 2 again. God wraps up this whole statement by saying that he will greatly increase Abram's numbers. May I tell you that you serve a God who absolutely loves to bless you? And some of us see God as this like mean ogre who just can't wait to catch you doing something wrong. Got her. She told a lie. Flat tire. Ha ha. Now my day is complete. And that's not God. It's not God. You serve a God who loves to bless his kids. Even when you don't deserve it. Even when you don't deserve it. A lot of you know that Pastor Nicole and Hader's daughter, Huda, has me wrapped around her little finger. So bad. It is so bad. And I think she knows. I think she knows this. Calls me Papaw. Which doesn't help at all, by the way. And regardless of what Nicole and Hader have told her, if she walks into the office and says, "Papa, can I have a sucker?" Well, it's like, honey, have three. I mean, because I just adore that little girl. She is just so special to me. And it's funny because as a dad, and now in this kind of a role, I've often reflected on God's love for me and how he absolutely loves to bless me. Now, God doesn't spoil his kids. Please hear me. But he loves to bless his kids. And our view of God. We talked about that to begin, and we're actually going to talk about it now to end. Our view of God has got to be that not only is this great and mighty God, but this all-powerful, incredible God looks at me and loves me. One out of 8 billion, he loves you. And he loves me. And those moments, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, the scripture says. When he blesses me in some way, that is an act of love from him. Not just the $1 million check, which I have yet to get, but the small things that he does for me every day. I find myself saying thank you, Lord, a lot throughout my day. Because I'm realizing that I serve such a good God. Amen. Jonathan, if you can help me. The Lord has a desire to take each of us to a higher place in our spiritual walk with him, to be closer to him than we've ever been before, maybe to have a relationship with him like we've never had before. And that's going to look different from person to person here. But this morning, the Lord would say, you know what, on the way, I want you to remember that I'm great. I'm not weak. I'm not limited. So we can do this together. The Lord would want to remind each and every person here that not only is he great, but he is here to lead us. He's here to guide us. He's here to show us the way. And he'll even help us to be sinless and guiltless before him. He loves me that much. He guarantees in his word all that I need. Peace, safety, wisdom, protection, healing, provision, on and on and on and on and on and on. And he's so good. He's so good. It's my desire that that would be a backdrop for this whole school year. Not just for students, but for every one of us here this morning. So could I ask you to stand? Now, I know we got a time of fellowship and a lot of food that you're all invited to be a part of, and I hope you'll take advantage of this. But for the next few minutes, could we just call out to the Lord today? And if there's an area of your life, or maybe I touched on one of these statements about God, and you're like, well, yeah, I probably need a little bit of help with that. Would you just confess that to the Lord? Just say, Lord, help me to realize that you're mighty. Help me to realize that you're here to guide me and protect me. God, help me to realize that I'm not in this alone. But Lord, you're there to help me to be holy. God, would you help me to realize that you are true to your word and you're very good. If we could pray those prayers in this next few moments, we will have accomplished a lot here today. So would you pray with me? Jesus, I lift you up. I thank you. I thank you for everybody who's here today. Jesus, I pray that we would have a view of you that lines up with your word and who you are, God. Lord Jesus, would you guide us? Would you protect us today, Lord? Would you make your word come alive to us, Lord? God, help us to be a holy and a pure people, Lord God, that you would work in a clean house. And God, make us aware of the areas of our lives that we could be prone to defeat, and God, help us to overcome those through your Holy Spirit's power. So, Lord, I pray for your touch on every single person here today. Lord, that we would know who you are and what you have for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like us to pray for our students. I think that'd be appropriate for us to do today. And if you're a student, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to throw snakes at you or anything like that. But that's next week. But if you're a student, why don't you make your way? Can you make your way to the front? And we just want to pray for you today. Just want you to know we love you. Boy, it'd be appropriate if the people of God would pray with our students here. So if you can make your way to the front, that'd be amazing. That's how we're going to close today. Before we have our little picnic, we're going to pray, one of you. Students, please hear me. We love you so much. We mean that. And now we're going to pray for God's blessing on you. Okay? Jesus, right now, God, we surround these students and we ask you that you would touch them. Lord God, I pray that you would meet every single need that they have. Lord God, I ask you that you would bless their coming and their going. God, when they walk into the classroom, as they find themselves on campus, God, wherever they might live, whether it be on campus or elsewhere, Jesus, touch them, I pray, in your precious and holy name. I'm asking you, God, that you would guide them in their studies. God, the moment they're the least bit overwhelmed, I pray that you would be the glory and the lifter of their heads. And God, I pray for the strength that can only come from you, Jesus. God, we know you're able to do that. So God, meet every need, touch them in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that your spirit would come alive in them, and God, that you would use them, Lord Jesus, as children of God, sons and daughters of God. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for every student. Bless them. We lift up Chi Alpha to you this year, Lord Jesus, that this would be a banner year for Chi Alpha. God, that they would touch many on the campus for you. Lord God, that you would use these students. Bless Pastor Nicole and Hayter. Bless Alex, Lord God, as they work hard to reach the students on Kent State and the University of Akron. So God, be with them, I pray. Lord, I'll thank you for what you do. May this be a year like none other for them. Lord, we'll thank you. We'll give you all the praise. And it's in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Let's give God praise today. Can we do that? Praise God. Well, hey, why don't you hug a few necks as you leave here today? We'll meet you at the park.